Westwood, and Crossland. I therefore, and those against are councillors Telfer, Byram, Valescu, Appleby and Gard. I declare the motion carried. Mr. Nance, he's a free man, but thanks for all the efforts. And we move on to page 79, poker machines in council-operated venues. Councillor Byram to move.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I have put up an alternate motion for this evening.
Very well. While Ms. Thwaites is typing that up, I know that I would normally like to call for a seconder, but I'll invite you to...
Can I ask a question?
Councillor Valescu, you're happy to second this motion? Very well. It's up to Councillor Byram to speak. Councillor Hull, I may rule the question out of order, but go ahead.
It's highly likely. Prospect of... I'd just like
make
to
it
ask,
a question, though.
Just ask the question. Has, in terms of conflict, members of some of the clubs involved with this, if they are elected members of those clubs, is it or is it not a conflict, possible conflict, to actually be involved in any of this debate?
My view would be that to be merely a member of a club, particularly reasonably sizable clubs such as the Marion RSL or Club Marion, would bring an elected member who is a member into a sufficiently large class to avoid any conflict of interest as defined in the Local Government Act. But I will ask our governance manager for advice on that. Ms. McKenzie.
Through the chair, the conflict of interest test is based on a pecuniary benefit or detriment. My understanding that a number of the roles that elected members play on community groups don't have this attached to them. So I think that would be the test that the elected member would need to apply.
Well, that's a very good point indeed, Ms. McKenzie. Thank you. We now see that the motion is largely up on the screen. I'll invite Councillor Byram to commence her contribution. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, these two community organisations have been heavily involved with giving council information about their use of poker machines. Were involved in the workshop that was held. They are very aware of their responsibilities. They do meet all their obligations under the state legislation, and they are very active in deterring and caring for any problem gamblers that do come up, and particular care of them is paramount, I think, with their responsibilities. There was to be any changes with poker machines for those establishments, those people would just move to other facilities that they don't have any power over looking after those people then. The committee members and staff of those organisations always receive ongoing training, that's part of the legislation. And they're all up to date with that. They're very rigorous with that in following that, and they keep their liaison going with Clubs SA and the relevant government bodies. And just on the conflict of interest, I am not a member of the club.
Thank you. Councillor Lescu.
Yes, as I said, if we could get rid of pokies throughout South Australia, I would be supportive of it. But to try to have impact on two pokies where people will go to other venues, there's no stopping them. I think is it's not going to work, and we're basically punishing the clubs that are more, or the venues that are more likely to do good with the money they get from pokies. That said, I do recognise there are problems with them, but I just think that we caused them enough grief through how this was handled and brought up. If we had contacted them individually, if we had concerns and discussed it, I think it would have saved a lot of concern. We saw, you know, retired servicemen who've served our country who are raising the money to actually help people that are coming back from wars now with some of those initiatives, you know, sitting here basically making them anxious. We've got the Marion Club that spent significant amounts of money coming along to show us their plans, to show what they've done for us. And for us, we didn't give them the duty of care in how this was brought up. So I think we just need to leave it. And I'm happy with the proposed motion.
Is there anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Telfer?
I'd like to ask a question.
Question from Councillor Telfer.
In the report, it says a workshop has been held with these two facility operators to discuss how council can encourage and support them to seek alternative sources of revenue to poker machines, as well as reducing operational costs. My question is, given the presentations at the time to these two clubs, how much were they presentations, and how much was there a workshop when there was feedback given? And if there was feedback given, how is it that in this report we haven't received that feedback?
I'd ask a staff member to respond. Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair. We can, because this report was recommending that a final report be brought to Council after the broader consultation, the plan was to include that in that report. We can circulate that feedback to elected members after tonight's meeting. What I'd also say is the feedback that we got from the workshop aligned with Councillor Byram's points that she raised tonight around the clubs take that their role seriously, proactive in addressing any issues with gambling as well. Their staff receive regular training as well, so they're well aware of the issues and are proactive if issues arise.
Did you have further, Councillor Telfer? Well, could I just, for the sake of all members, could I ask Ms. Dixon to just expand on the views and the questions or commitments that might have been made by the organisations at the workshop?
Through the Chair, in terms of the workshop, what was explained to the two clubs was the resolution that Council had passed in terms of engaging with them in how their use of poker machines and the revenue as well, and whether there were ways that there were other options for revenue to be gained. The feedback that came back is it is actually plateauing in terms of the revenue that they seek, and they're active in seeking other forms of revenue, such as, you know, entertainment as well.
You, speaking against the motion, Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's a bit of irony in this that the mover of the original motion to actually have a quite a the opposite view that I had when I originally moved.
Councillor Hull, you will stick to the issues and not reflect on other members, won't you?
Well, certainly. There is there's true history here that the mover of the motion that was passed by the Council on the 27th of October...
Councillor Hull, I'm going to rule that as irrelevant. Just get on with debating the issues, please.
Well, all I'm getting at is there's been a change of heart, and I'm a bit concerned by that. Because we're going backwards. Instead of actually keeping an eye on this, we're saying we won't keep an eye on it at all. We'll actually turn a blind eye to it. And in fact, deny the moral obligation we have to actually keep an eye on this. And I think we do have a moral obligation. We are one of a very few councils in South Australia that have poker machines in council premises. There's really only Holdfast Bay in this region, that has poker machines of the same scale in the Glenelg Football Club and look at the mess they're in. I think that if between the two clubs, if they're making $1 million a year, that means they're sucking out that money from our economy. It's not only damaging people in this area, but other businesses as well, because it's $1 million less they've got to spend in those other businesses. And if you find it acceptable that $1 million is being sucked out of our community, and accept the notion that it's all being managed and nobody's getting hurt, well, think again. Think again, because the irony is that the people actually are feeding these machines are the ones that can ill afford it the most. And quite likely, how are the clubs going to know that their kids aren't being fed at home? How do they know that? It's not me making this up. We've got Senator Xenophon came along at the last meeting and addressed us, along with the church, the Uniting Church. It's not just me coming out of left field making all this up. And we actually, as a council, have got a dependence ourselves on poker machines to prop up our two of our sporting clubs. And we need to be concerned about that. I was sort of half happy with this motion that Councillor Valescu actually moved, but to actually abandon it and actually have a hands-off and blindfolded approach to this is not acceptable to me.
A point of order by Councillor Valescu. I'll just caution Councillor Hull, there is no need to refer to other members and their views and impute attitudes to them. Just stick to the facts and the issues, please, Councillor Hull.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, he's seconded the motion. And unfortunately, we at least know how...
Well, you can finish your point if you want to, but make it about the issues and the ideas, not the person who moved it or didn't move it.
All I'll say to my members here tonight, my colleagues, is think about the consequences of this getting out, that we actually have taken this position. Whatever interpretation you want to take on it, Mr. Mayor, whatever interpretation you want to take on it, other people will have their own interpretation. I have mine.
Thanks, time. People speaking for and against. Councillor Gard.
Yes, I'm speaking for the motion, but for the public record particularly, I do want to align with what Councillor Hull is saying in general principle, and I don't think Council is actually moving away from its original stance in principle. One of the issues that we have found is that it is most difficult to take the food from the mouth of a club when it's reliant on a particular type of food so greatly. Another thing that we've found, and this has been put to us by at least one club, is that we're not necessarily solving the problem by shifting poker machines in the future away from one premises, because the habit of the consumer is to be flushed to other premises. And so we're moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic, doing that and doing quite a bit of harm to businesses as we go. I'm talking about the sporting club businesses and the RSLs, etc. I would certainly like to see active manoeuvres by the City of Marion with its clubs to not threaten them in any way with any immediate strategic thinking, but to educate and to survey how we can, in the longer term, wean them away from poker machines. And I say that as someone who, one of my very best personal friends, and in fact I'm talking of two lawyers, have been decimated in their family by their own use of poker machines. And so it touches all levels of society. So I'm very sensitive about it, but I'm also very sensitive that the big mistake was when poker machines were introduced in the way they were introduced. And so we have to be sensitive about that, albeit we need to record with the public what our stance is.
Thank you. Councillor Westwood.
I'm generally not in favour of poker machines. I rarely play. but I have to mention that the fear I have in if poker machines were taken out of our two clubs would be that the people who actually use them excessively would go to other venues. I'm sure of that. And if they do that, of course, as some people have already pointed out at various times in the past, the proprietors of those venues probably would have less concern for the players, and also the actual money, even though it's, I'm sure, doing some harm to the players and their families, or some of them at least, the money at least goes towards the community, some kind of. So it's a very difficult situation, it's not very good, but I would prefer that the poker machines stay in the current situation, because I think there's less harm being done in this situation than if they were taken out and the gamblers who gambled to excess, if they went off to some other kind of venues where they wouldn't be, you know, particularly cared for. Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no other speakers, look, before I go back to Councillor Byram, I want to refer back to Councillor Telfer's question. And this is in addition to what Ms Dixon provided earlier, but I read from an internal working document of the council in terms of what the clubs raised at the workshop that was held with them by staff, or with staff. Here are a number of points. Clubs are continually looking at ways to attract more members. This includes bands, meals, etc., to increase and diversify sources of income. The clubs are regularly reviewing expenditure to determine how it can be reduced. The clubs believe that gaming machine use has plateaued and online gambling is increasing. Income from gaming machines is reinvested into the clubs, therefore benefiting the members and broader community. It also provides employment opportunities. Gaming machines are heavily regulated, including the management and support for users. This includes all staff volunteers undertaking regular training, monitoring users and providing support. The Marion RSL since 2010 have worked with two people and provided support to one person. Marion Sports and Community Club indicated similar numbers. The clubs are required to be a member of Clubs SA, which ensures the clubs are complying with regulations. This includes regular inspections that are recorded. These are monitored and signed off every 3 months. Marion Sports and Community Club has received an award for responsible service and training. The clubs believe their point of difference to other venues with gaming machines is that they know their members, they know them by name and can see if there is a change in behaviour. So that's just to add some more information. Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. I would like to add to that as well, because being the liaison councillor for the RSL, I'm able to see what initiatives they are taking in trying to bring in other revenue. I'm sure the liaison councillor for the Club Marion would be able to ascertain to that as well. I'm a little bit perturbed about the comments that are made about the $1 million, because I know that the RSL, that is not the case. There is nothing like that comes in from the poker machines, and it is quite a small amount from that. The comments that were made about to the previous motion that we had in October, I believe this motion actually takes us on from that one, and there is still the elements of that motion that are still in existence. They don't stop. Where we're the ones where we're recognising the negative impacts of gambling on the general community, and that we do not support any increase in the number of council-owned venues with poker machines, that doesn't change. Council encourages, supports and consults with its lessees in seeking alternative sources of revenue to poker machines. That's still in existence. And we've said, whilst preferring to minimise the use of poker machines in our community, council will not compel any of its lessees to remove their current licensed poker machines. So the only part that we're referring to is point four on the report that we were to get by the end of this month. And regarding the possible reduction. And we've had that report. We know that they're working on things. We know that they are fulfilling all their obligations. And we must remember that this is an SA government policy that they have. If Councillor Hull wishes to move a motion in future that asking SA government to change its policy, that's your prerogative. But I'm doing at this stage is we're just looking and answering 4.4 from the previous motions, and we have covered all of those things from that previous motion.
I put the motion. Those in favour, raise your hand. I declare the motion carried by a majority of those against. Division called. Those in favour, please stand in your place. Councillors Telfer, Hutchinson, Westwood, Byram, Valescu, Appleby, Gard and Crossland. Those against are Councillors Pfeiffer, Kerry, Pryor and Hull. The motion is carried by majority. Thank you. Just checking that staff have those names recorded. Okay. We move to page 81. Forestville Hockey Club proposal. Councillor Crossland, a question or to move?
Can I move a motion? I sent one to staff
yes.
via email.
Certainly. I hope we're just bringing that up. Did you want to, or can you just read it out, Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, my motion is just that we note the correspondence for the member for Elder. And note their proposal and request or note that the response should be from the Mayor that we thank them for the offer but would decline their offer, that we're unable to assist them at this stage. Worded it slightly differently to that. The reason
I'll just check before you go on, is that seconded? Councillor Hull, please continue, Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, I'm quite keen not to waste staff time. We've already had several meetings to discuss sports. I don't believe hockey featured in our sporting proposals at this stage. We're already in the throes of looking at supporting Edwardstown Sports Club, Mitchell Park Sports Club. We're looking at an indoor sports hall, and we still need to find land and a suitable location for soccer. And we need soccer provision in the north and south, and that is on our priority list. If anyone believes that we've got sufficient grounds for hockey, then those grounds have been hidden from us for soccer for the last 5 years. So if we haven't got anywhere for soccer, we certainly haven't got anywhere for hockey, so I don't know why we're going to go around in circles giving these people false hope when it's quite clear we haven't got the land available. Secondly, on their own report, it's quite clear that unless it's in Unley council area, then everything else is not appropriate or suitable. So on the recommendation of their own report, we should follow that. The city of Marion is not an appropriate location for them.
Thank you. Councillor Hull.
I support Councillor Crossland with this. Members, have we not got enough on our plate? Have we not got enough on our plate without worrying about hockey now? I'm not saying that hockey's not important or that they don't have a reasonable need. However, you know, even before the last council election, we now have more major projects now going with sport than we did when I was bleeding about this before the council election. Now, we've even got a basketball arena that's come out of left field. So, you know, to take on hockey as well, like, we can only do so much. We can only spread ourselves so thin. If there was an identifiable sports ground that is picked up in this letter from Mrs. Digantz, fine. You know, there it is, and we should make it happen, but that's not even there. I just think that, respectfully, we need to indicate to the member for Elder that as much as we'd like to help, we can't at this stage. Annabelle Digans should know how much is on our plate. One of them is in her electorate, being Mitchell Park. It'd be Edwardstown. Edwardstown, isn't that enough? We've got Mitchell Park, we've got the BMX set up, we've got a outdoor pool that we'd like to spend more money on, we've got a master plan that's not even completed with that yet. I can go on and on. To actually have another one, we don't want to be distracted by this. let's put it to an end now, and hopefully the administration and the mayor can actually explain to the member for Elder the circumstances why.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Telfer, question?
Marks? All right, question. Is it not true that the Forestville Hockey Club's proposal had no cost to council? That is, if council could find the land, were not the hockey people themselves going to put in a complete facility at no cost to council?
My understanding from reading the documents, and I'll ask the staff to confirm or otherwise these remarks, but my understanding was that the club is saying, give us the space, we will then raise the funds one way or another to build it, and then you will maintain it thereafter. So they are saying they will take care of the capital cost, although they don't have a guaranteed source for that, and then as in the usual way, there would be council maintenance costs subsequently. So I'd ask anyone, managers, wish to comment on that? Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair, that is correct. On page 84, in the first paragraph, it confirms that they are only seeking land.
An unspecified area of land, yes. Councillor Telfer, did you have more to add?
Have we thoroughly researched that we don't have the available land? Are there not places like the rear of the Oaklands Reserve, the Warradale Army Barracks, a variety of other places where a hockey field would fit, but council would not necessarily be involved in the construction of such a place?
Well, I think I can speak for all of us. There are unquestionably places where you could put a hockey pitch, but the Councillor Crossland's point of view, as expressed in the motion, is that if there was such a space, we would rather do something else with it first than put a hockey pitch, as I understand it. Now, there are two points of view about that, but that's what the debate is about. I'm not sure, did Councillor Crossland, as the mover, did you wish to respond?
Yeah, it's just obviously we've been looking for some time for extra facilities for soccer, and I think even footy, looking for extra space. That's been on the table for over 18 months. Not one item of land has come to us as a possible location for a soccer pitch. There's not a lot of difference between a soccer pitch and a hockey pitch. My understanding, this is not just for one hockey pitch, this is for a series of hockey pitches and a club room. So you're not talking about an oval, you're talking even bigger area, something for a number of pitches.
Thanks for the clarification. Back to you, Councillor Telfer, if you'd like to continue.
Well, in clarifying a viewpoint, but I actually support what's there. In clarifying this, I'd have to say that the submission to us is because the Women's Memorial playing grounds has not come available because of the politics on that site. And it appears to me that is more appropriate given the constraints in this particular report that it is looked at in Unley. However, I do think if we were being handed a hockey fields and system on the plate at no cost to council, it had some value and merit. But I do support where we're going now given our other commitments.
Very well. Councillor Gard?
No, I've actually had my questions answered. I was just thinking Glandore Oval was probably the nearest point to Forestville on our eastern boundary, and my query was whether that would allow for what that which the Forestville Club is seeking. The oval is used for football, I think, and cricket as well, and therefore it probably wouldn't be appropriate for soccer because of time clashes. The question is, would it be appropriate for hockey, and would it take the sort of built facilities that the Forestville Club is anticipating? Question or statement, I'm not sure. Oh,
I think we'll take that as a rhetorical question, and it's clearly one that can't be answered without further investigation, and Councillor Crossland's point is, let's not investigate further because we have other priorities. I'll take it as that. Councillor Byron?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, and I do support actually the motion, but I have a few comments that I would just like to make in regards to this submission. And at the moment, we, yes, have to think of our priorities that we have already voted on. But I'm interested in the fact that so many sporting clubs that we're talking to, they think that council is the only alternative to them for land. And I think perhaps in the letter that goes back to them, perhaps we could encourage them to source other potential things like some of the recreation parks that are, they can look to lands, and through those three council areas there are lands they could look at. There's also the idea of linking with schools and sporting fields in school grounds. So I think there are other options here that it doesn't appear that they have sourced. If it subsequently does come into our council area, if it's on other land, we don't have to maintain it. And I think that's something we have to try and get through to people, that council has a finite amount of money on dealing with these, and help them find other alternatives. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll speak against the new motion. I was quite in favour of the motion as suggested. Look, we have a hell of a lot on our plate. No question about that. Absolutely no question about that. We have got a lot on our plate. But it does surprise me a bit that we just casually slam the door on this when it's actually not such a bad deal if we can just find some land. Yeah, we don't know where the land is. We don't know where the land is for a lot of our priorities at the moment. Why can't we combine a few of these things? We'll never know because we're slamming the door on it. You know, we've got Tonsley, and Tonsley's going to need open space in it. Why aren't we putting them in touch with the developers of the residential bit? Why aren't we putting them in touch with Morfettville? What? You know, but instead of doing that, we're just saying, oh, sorry, no deal. It's just a bit sad, I think, that we, instead of looking at the questions of where and how, we're just saying no.
Councillor Velez.
And or Adrian, I'm sorry, Mr. Skull and Ms. Dixon, sorry. Which staff would be working on this if we were to proceed? Who would be the staff members?
Dixon to answer.
Through the chair, this has come through and has been considered by John Valentine in strategic projects, so that's where it would sit in terms of the initial investigations.
And do those staff members have much capacity for extra work at the moment?
Through the chair, I think council would be aware that team in particular has many projects on and a high workload, and has required additional resources to meet that.
And finally, does the maintenance cost also mean the renewal of the capital expense, which we would initially be spared but have to pay later on?
Mr. Mifsud, hand over to Mr. Mifsud to answer.
Through the chair, yes, absolutely.
On those grounds alone, I can't support it. I would like to see it happen somewhere, but it's the opportunity cost for all the other projects. We're at capacity with people like John Valentine and his team. We want to move forward on the things we've selected. We can't. I kind of see this as a bit of a nice to have, and no disrespect. If they come back to us once we know a little bit more about what's available at Tonsley and Morpheville, it doesn't shut the door. It could be an opportunity for us to point them in that direction. But I think at the moment, we're not in a position to have our resources in that area. And once again, it's the opportunity cost. We're going to get delays. We're going to miss out on what we want to do because things are tight. And then obviously, they're giving us something, but we are going to have to maintain it. And we've got something coming up where we were given an asset, Tock H Hall, and we haven't maintained that. Obviously, that's a little bit less cost. There is no history with hockey that I'm aware of within the city of Marion. We may be in a situation where things change and there could be organisations with history that may have to move. So we really need to let them see if they can find something else, and if in future the situation changes, then there may be an opportunity. I don't believe there's any opportunity at Park Holm, but I think there might be some opportunity maybe at Morpheville when SAJC maybe do some changes, but who knows what's happening there. But that's a long way off.
Are there any other speakers? Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, just a quick note. There is a fair bit of land around Lot 707, if there's an option there.
Very well. Councillor Hutchinson.
I'm going to move an amendment, Your Worship. I'm going to move point one and point two with the addition that, to point two, that if the hockey club wishes to provide further detail, council would be willing to look at that further, which may present a more favourable outcome.
Just trying to help you out here before I accept that motion. Do you want to specify information or the nature of the information you're talking about?
Yeah, look, around the their willingness to look at the maintenance costs, shared facilities, and put a proposal to us with a bit more fleshing out of where they see themselves in Marion.
All right.
Unable to assist at this point, but council is still open to receiving some more insight into where they believe their best fit is within the city of Marion, and noting that council has reservations regarding the ongoing expenses and renewal costs.
Well, we'll just wait for staff to have the wording of that up on the screen so you can all see, and we'll make sure that you're happy with that before we go any further. Councillor Hutchinson, did you want to actually incorporate some of that specific nature of the information in the motion or not? All right. You've clarified your intention. Okay. Sorry, it's not this proposals, really. Additional information, I think, was the...
Additional information... and or alternatives to ensure that the funding position is more attractive to council.
What about additional information making the proposal more financially attractive to council? Tell them I'm in a meeting. More financially attractive to council, and comma, council may reconsider its position. Position, and could we put a comma after the word that, noting that comma. Thank you. Councillor Gard, Mr. Roger, what did you have to say?
I was just considering that the word attractive might sound like we're in a bargaining mode, whereas predictable is probably what we're really talking about, that we're trying to fathom.
No, I think that is a different meaning,
okay.
In all honesty.
I'll accept Roger's out of business.
Yeah, well, it's all online these days. So, do we have a seconder? A question? I'll take the question. Councillor Westwood.
Yes. I was just wondering, is the concept that we're wanting them to more independently search in our area if they wish to see if they can come up with a possibility of a land or joining with someone? Are we trying to get them to be more independent rather than take it on ourselves? This doesn't quite sound like it, if that's what we're trying to do.
I think that is what the intention is. It's saying, at the moment it's no, but if you come back to us with more information about guarantee of your capital funding, ongoing maintenance cost support, and maybe an idea about where you want this thing, we will reconsider it. Is that Councillor Hutchinson is essentially saying that?
Oh, yeah, good.
That's the intention. Councillor Hull, what is this? Question, all right.
Does every letter sent to us by a MP end up becoming a motion in this council?
Clearly not, but this has... the matter was raised with the Mayor. I'm not sure if I specifically asked it to be put to council, but it was considered by staff, I think, that this was the most appropriate way to get direction. Staff didn't feel that it was for them to say yes, no, or maybe. So it's a serious proposal. It's not a flippant proposal, and therefore it was considered worthy of being put on the council agenda.
Is there an attractive government grant that the Member for Elder is offering with this as well?
It clearly doesn't appear in the information provided to us tonight, Councillor. Councillor Westwood, have you got another question?
Yes, actually a bit of a suggestion, if I may.
What about the amendment?
Well, yes. It's just that additional information making the... I'm trying to work in a specific proposal from them. That's what I'd like to see, a specific proposal from them, and cost neutral to the council, something like that. Then they have to come to us to actually make a specific
order.
They
order.
Have to do the work.
Order. I have a point of order. The chair is perhaps being overly informal by allowing questions. I thought Councillor Westwood had another question, as he did before. What he's actually doing is proposing an alteration of the motion. It's up to him if he wants to move another amendment after this one. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, if I may
so,
just say
no,
that...
No,
if
so
the,
if I will move... leave it there. I mean, there's not a point of order, but it's really that the chair has been informal in allowing these things. What should happen now? The motion's been amended. I ask for a seconder. It's seconded by Councillor Kerry. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Kerry? Then I put the motion... I put the amendment, I should say, and we vote now. So all those in favour of the amendment, raise your hand. All those against, the amendment is carried. Those that haven't spoken yet may speak to the amended motion. Councillor Appleby, go
for it. Thank you, Worship. I'm going to speak against the motion. I think this does exactly what we don't want to do, and it creates an expectation that we will allocate considerable staff time to another proposal. So I think we should leave it at that.
No, there is only one member who hasn't formally spoken, but it's now time to go back to... Is that a question, Councillor Hull? Yes, all right.
If this club was to prevail and find a piece of land in Marion and establish themselves, would they seek to rename the area Unley?
No. Order. That's. If there's any more frivolity, I'll take disciplinary action, Councillor Hull. It's getting too late for jokes, I'm afraid. Unless I make them. Councillor Crossland to close the debate. Councillor Hutchinson, you moved the amendment. Your amendment was carried. Well, mate, you don't need to do any more. It's Councillor Crossland to close the debate. Sorry, you've moved an amendment. It was carried because it has to be voted on immediately, right? That's done and dusted. What we have there now is the motion, but Councillor Crossland was the mover. He gets to respond to his original motion, albeit as amended. Just because someone moves an amendment, that doesn't mean it all becomes their motion if it's carried. It doesn't. It's still the original motion and it's amended. And I don't care what the practice has been over the past 50 years of this council, that's how it works. There's a motion, it's been amended, it's an amended motion, but it's still the motion, and Councillor Crossland moved it originally. He can close the debate, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. Rather bizarrely, I'm speaking against the motion as it stands. I don't agree that we should be giving these people false hope. I remind members of the forum we had not very long ago where we were looking at a way of reducing rates and the fact that we've got so many sports assets across our council area, how our total asset amount of all our residence houses is one of the lowest of all council areas, which means that our residents are some of the poorest residents in metropolitan Adelaide. They are already paying a heavy price for hosting a number of state sporting facilities. Yeah, if we could find this magical land that we can't find for other sports, would be great, but we get to pay ongoing our ratepayers for that facility moving forward. That is not meeting my requirement to lower rates. We're actually forcing our ratepayers to add more to their rate bill moving forward. We don't want to be the council that everyone comes to for the yes vote. Let's actually put a stop to it, say enough's enough. We're struggling to maintain what we've got. I just prefer to send the letter as is, so I'm speaking against the motion. I'd ask you to vote against it.
Right, all those in favour of the amended motion, raise your hand. All those against the amended motion, motion is tied. I have a casting vote. I've reflected on Councillor Hutchinson's concern that I didn't allow him to make further remarks. Upon reflection, there's probably an argument that the amendment shouldn't have been allowed at all, in the sense that the motion was to say no. And to say no, but we might, leads me to think that it might have been better to simply say no, and then if there was information, there would be nothing to stop council reconsidering the matter. Because after all, Councillor Crossland's proposal was that we're unable to assist them with their current proposal. If they come back, we look at it again. So on that basis, I'll vote against the amended motion. I'll leave it for... We don't have a motion. Councillor Crossland, we can't move that motion again. Well, I suppose so. I suppose there's no reason why we can't accept the original motion again, is there? Because at the moment there's nothing on the table. There's nothing that's contrary to what was originally put. So let's without debate, I'll invite Councillor Crossland to move again to see if he's got support. So, Councillor Crossland, why don't you move your original motion?
Could I please move the original motion that I sent to staff?
Right, is that seconded? Councillor Blescu, let's just put this to a vote, because the alternative, look, if this goes down, then I'll ask someone to move the original recommendation and it can be looked at by a committee. Okay, so that's kind of the yes rather than the no. So now it's clear cut. You either vote for this or there'll be a motion along the lines of the original printed recommendation from staff, which is to send it to a committee for examination. So I'll ask you to raise your hands if you basically want to say no to the current proposal. If in favour of that, raise your hand. All those against the motion, which is essentially the Yes Investigate lobby, the motion is carried by majority, and the letter will be sent accordingly. So, division called by Councillor Westwood. I wonder why. Anyway, those who are in favour of Councillor Crossland's motion, paragraphs 1 and 2, please stand in your place. Remain standing until I've called the vote. Those in favour, Councillors Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull, Byram, Valescu, Appleby and Crossland. Those against are... No, please remain standing just for a sec. Those against the motion are Councillors Pfeiffer, Kerry, Westwood and Gard. Thank you. You may be seated. The motion is carried by majority. Okay. Seriously thinking about having a 5-minute break. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Tok H?
Indeed. Sorry, I was just waiting until there's a bit of quiet around the chamber.
Page 132.
Indeed. We've got 42 minutes of the meeting left, so let's keep this moving. Look, Your Worship, this is, in my mind, this is a bit of a procedural type matter. There is no leaseholder of this particular property at the moment. It is not, the property itself is not in good condition. The motion is strictly to undertake an investigation. It's not charging down that path yet. I think in our roles as elected members, it's always for us to look at whether we have the right provision of services and facilities within our council areas, and particularly within our ward boundaries for ward councillors. We do have a big upgrade going on, hopefully, not too far down the street from this particular location. And I'm very hopeful that any residual demand that could be within that particular facility may well be able to be accommodated within that facility and other facilities in the area as well. As I say, it's a procedural motion just to really undertake the investigation.
Well, 2 points there. It's not a procedural motion, but I'm sure you're aware that technically is beyond dispute. It is asking staff to do something. But, Councillor, I just wonder whether you are aware of the Section 194 report that needs to be done. And I just want members to be clear on this, that this is starting the process and breaking it down into a whole series of stages. If we wanted to speed up the process, we would, for example, ask in administration to undertake site investigations and prepare a Section 194 report, because what the current wording does is it brings, it does these preliminary site investigations, have we got the title, is there contamination on the roof or something, and we come back in a couple of months, and then if people are minded to pursue asset disposal, then a report needs to be prepared, and that report decides whether we should do it or not, or sorry, recommends the background facts and the demography and everything else, and then we come back to decide if we then want to ask the minister to do something. So I just point out to you that it would be possible to shorten that process, if it was your wish, by adding the requirement for that other report to be done at the same time.
Thank you, Your Worship, for pointing that out and giving that opportunity. Look, as this is our first crack at this, I think it's probably wise for us to do it properly and sequentially. There could be other opportunities within the council, within this council term, for other properties that may hit this criteria, in which case there could be the time then to say, hey, well, it worked well there, so maybe we can condense the process a little bit. Given that this particular property used to exist on what was a former road, I think possibly looking into doing those site contamination things separately and up front is possibly wise.
And I just have a question for staff as well, because this is a relatively new thing that we have due dates appearing in a column next to the recommendations. Is it the intention of staff that the due dates form part of the motion or not?
Through the chair, yes, that was the intention. So the second motion would mean that the report is brought back to council in May.
All right. So is that motion seconded? Councillor Hull, wish to speak?
Just quickly, I support this. This is one example in Marion. It's a good start, and I commend you, Mayor, for adding that advice to speed up the process. Councillor Fyfe, it's not my first time with something like this. I've been through this a few times, and I wonder why we don't do it more often and more expediently. I've identified pieces of land in my ward, one particular one, over many council terms, that staff have not taken up. I just hope that Ms. Dixon actually can measure the intent of the council in terms of this being the first of many. But, you know, Pioneer Hall was one that I was involved in. There's a big story with that, with heritage listing and the whole lot, but that was a hard one. And there was a parcel of land down at Henry Street, once that we disposed of. That went remarkably smoothly, actually, that particular one. But look, doing the proper assessments is really important to actually make sure we don't miss anything, that it wasn't bequeathed to the council or something like that. The road that you referred to, I suspect, would have been a dirt road back in the day. So that makes me a little bit more comfortable about contamination. But, you know, it needs to be done properly. It needs to be done with that community consultation that is part of this process. And we need to tick this one and move on to the next one. That's the strongest point that I can make.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. I just point out that the motion before us doesn't involve any community consultation, right? The report I'm talking about does, but that's not what we're deciding to know. You understand that? No, that's not Councillor Pfeiffer's intent. Oh, eventually. Sure. Maybe get us up there. Councillor Crossland.
I'm going to foreshadow an amendment, but can I ask a question first of staff?
Of course.
Can I just ask why they haven't added the 194 report in the recommendation, why they didn't want to put that in as working in tandem with the other investigations?
Through the chair, So the rationale behind separating these different processes is that it's in line with council's policy in terms of disposal of an asset. So the site investigation will inform that it is a site that's valid for disposal or not. So that comes back to council, and then council would resolve to do the formal revocation process. So it's stepped it out, so council is informed throughout the process.
Well, Ms Dixon, we have the policy before us tonight in the paperwork, so I'm looking at pages 138, 139, 140. Where does it say that we have to take these steps one lot at a time rather than doing the section 194 report at the same time as the initial investigations?
Through the chair, so the policy doesn't clearly set that out, but it does state, and this is in that we pulled this out in the body of the report, any decision to dispose of land and assets will be made after considering where applicable, and then there's a list of usefulness of the land, annual costs, historical significance as well. So I suppose the intent of stepping this out is that that work will take some time. That report then comes back to council, keeps them informed, and then if the asset is presenting that it should be disposed, that we can proceed. But council, if it wishes to, can include the revocation place in the motion, subject to the site investigations.
Sorry, did you say revocation?
So could start the disposal of the assets. So apologies.
Well, nobody tonight has suggested that we do that. The only suggestion that I've made implicitly is that the section 194 report could be done at the same time as the site investigations. I thought you'd said that the policy dictated that they had to be one after the other, but then it seems clear that the policy doesn't mandate that. You've suggested that the reason might be staff resources, but I suppose that's another issue. If council says they should be done at the same time, then it's up to Mr. Skoll to find the resources to do it. And Mr. Skoll, did you have anything to add?
Through your worship, no, correct. That's my job to get it done.
Right. Well, I don't want to, misinterpret what you've said, Ms. Dixon. Did you want to clarify?
Through the chair, and apologies, I may have not made myself as clear. So you're correct, the Mayor's correct in terms that the policy doesn't state that they can't happen at the same time. We were just stepping it out in this approach, but if Council wishes us to take that next step and resolve that tonight, that's perfectly fine and we can do that.
Right, thank you. Well, bear with us, members. It's important to explore these options, because it is a significant step. Councillor Crossland, the call is still with you.
Can I do another question to Ms Dixon? The staff that investigate contamination, etc., wouldn't it be different to the staff that do the community consultation? Wouldn't that be different staff anyway?
Ms Dixon?
Through the chair, yes, this sort of project would involve input from a variety of staff, community engagement staff, land and property staff, asset staff as well.
In that case, I'd like to move an amendment to include the 194 report so that we get full investigation and the results of the community development in one hit, and then when it comes back to council we can actually move on the disposal in a more expedient matter.
Well, Councillor Crossland, could I suggest that maybe in paragraph 2 that might be the most convenient place, if we just after the words bring a, you could put section 194 report back at the conclusion of the site investigations. So
yes, if that could be amended to the motion as written, please.
So you may wish to speak further, Councillor Crossland, it's up to you.
I think I've really said everything except for, look, we're all keen to move on assets that we don't require. I'm sure that this one will be definitely surplus to requirement. Just looking across council in general, the amount of buildings and facilities available in that particular area compared with Coastal and Southern Ward, if the report determines that it's an essential requirement to have that building, then we're going to have several new buildings required in the south, which I can't see likely.
Now, is the amendment seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, did you wish to speak? Therefore, I put the amendment to, which has the effect of bringing the Section 194 report back at the end of May, as well as the result of the site investigations. Ms. Dixon is very keen to say something at this point. So, Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair, just with consultation with staff, we would recommend that the date for bringing that report be June to allow that time, that additional work to be done.
Rather than putting the amendment, just give the mover, mover and seconder the opportunity to...
I'd be happy with that amendment.
Does the meeting give leave to the mover and seconder to amend the amendment so that the date would be June 2016? Is there anyone objecting? Then leave is granted, and the amendment therefore introduces the word Section 194 and also changes the date. Perhaps we can just leave it generally as June 2016. I put the amendment. All those in favour, raise your hand. Councillor Valescu, are you waving at me or not sure? Okay. Please raise your hands. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All those against the amendment. 5, 6. The vote is tied. I cast my vote in favour of the amendment. There are, I suppose, my inclination to try and speed up the process is guided by the fact that this is relatively clear-cut on the scale of assets which might be considered for disposal, in the sense that it's not currently used, it's dilapidated, and there's no other obvious use at this time. So there will be reports that we will ask for on asset disposal that are unquestionably more complex, involving consultation with a number of community groups and so forth, but this isn't one of them. So I cast my vote in the affirmative in favour of the amendment. So I declare the amendment carried, and now debate can continue on the motion as amended, if anyone else wants to contribute. Otherwise, back to Councillor Telfer.
I will speak against that because I believe that we need to know the site for the community's sake. And when we go out to community consultation, we need to have our facts. So why make it untidy by saying, well, it may be a road, it may be this, that or the other thing, when you want to quietly go out to the community and say, at this point in time, we are considering certain facts?
Councillor Telford, just to clarify, the Section 194 report, the very purpose of it, is to be able to take something comprehensive out to community consultation. So we get it back first with the site investigation in June, if this is carried, and then we go out to community consultation. It's not what happens to put the 194 report together. Ms. Dixon, did you want to comment on that?
No, I don't have anything further to add. That's correct.
Right. So we're not in any way, we're not presenting any less to the community when we decide to do so, if we decide to do so. But sorry to, I didn't want to throw you off, Councillor Telfer, but I didn't want you to be under a misapprehension. But please speak further if you wish.
I hold to my viewpoint that it is really good to be clear before we start talking to the community about what happens, and section number two there in the amendment says bring a section 194 report back at the conclusion of this site investigation regarding the potential disposal by June. So that suggests that we've tied up the section 194 report by June.
That's right, and it's the 194 report that goes out to the community. So we haven't consulted before June. It happens after. Councillor Fife.
Yeah, Your Worship, look, it's when we start amending things on the fly that we get ourselves into trouble, and it's when we start quickly changing things and trying to shorten processes, that's when we get ourselves into strife. There's nothing wrong with the process as it's been presented to us. The staff have put a lot of work into it. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, hey, it might take a tiny bit longer. How does that matter? I just see absolutely no purpose in changing it.
Okay, put the motion as amended. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. We move on to page 144, LGA stuff. Now, this may need a bit of initial discussion. I wanted to point out that in paragraph 2, a motion that the local government association reduce its membership fee by 30%, on the face of it, doesn't make sense because it's ambiguous. The membership fee formula, as you know, is currently being reviewed by the LGA, and Mr. Skull has been invited onto some sort of review committee, as I understand it, to help work out a new formula. Be that as it may, we could talk about the Marion Council's fee being reduced by 30%, but the local, or we could talk about the total local government association receipt of fees being reduced by 30%. But because there are different fees for different councils, it probably doesn't make sense by itself to say reduce the LGA reduce its membership fee by 30%. So in moving the motion, somebody might want to take care of that. The other thing is, we're talking about Friday the 15th of April. I can make myself, and probably make myself available if I have to, but I'll just ask if Councillor Vlescu is available as a proxy delegate.
I'm likely to be available, yep, highly likely.
Okay.
I know Councillor Byram's also interested if you're not keen, so.
Is it possible to, I'll ask Ms. McKenzie, is it possible to nominate two proxies? So Ms. McKenzie can just describe what we have to do right now.
Through the Chair, you will need to nominate a voting delegate for the meeting and then have a proxy, which is what's required on the paperwork.
But can we name two proxies? Okay, all right, sounds like it's just one. So, now, questions? Councillor Byram?
Just from the last meeting, Your Worship, a lot of councils had more than one person there, but there was only the one delegate voting, but you can have more people go.
Oh, absolutely right. Yeah. So thank you for that information. Yeah.
Also, just on the way that it did run there and with people explaining their motions that they put up, I agree with you that the Local Government Association reducing membership by 30% isn't clear enough. And have we canvassed other councils as to their support for that?
I think it's evident from the report that the LGA hasn't been canvassed, and I don't think we know who the elected members are that have put up the motions, do we? Is that in the report? I don't think so. But, look, that'll just have to become clear during debate, I would suggest. Councillor Hull?
Yeah, there's been a request to my right by a number of councillors that I'll be the special envoy to this meeting, the LGA, but I'll consider that. But what I wanted to do was point out that the other dot point that I've introduced into the motion, because you may not be aware of it, it's on the screen.
Well, sorry, nobody's moved the motion yet, but...
That's right, it's anybody's
Thank
motion.
You for drawing it to my attention.
Your Worship, I'm happy to move the motion if there aren't any other questions.
Okay. Well, Councillor Vlescu, go for it.
Yeah. Okay, look, I'd like to move it. I'm going to be controversial, and I'm going to remove this middle bit, if I can, the Local Government Association reduce its membership fee by 30%, because I'm sure that the residents would like us to do the same. We won't get any support. Now, if anyone is willing to have some sort of motion that looks at how we can reduce the rates or having something a little bit more flexible, I'm happy to entertain it. But I think for us to put that it would reduce it by 30% is just going to make us look foolish because it's not realistic, whether it is the intake that they take from everyone or otherwise. That's just my opinion. I'm happy to take people's views on that. I commend the last one as well. And I, whilst I personally have no view on the first one, that's worth putting up if people want to do it. So I'd also, I'm happy to be the proxy on this. I'm just wondering if we, I'm not 100% sure, so could we have that? I'm happy to be the proxy and Councillor Byram to be proxy in my absence, so we nominate, and I'll be able to let you know relatively soon when I check my diary.
I see. So Ms. McKenzie's advising that on the form you put down voting delegate and one proxy voting delegate.
Yes.
But you're saying that between now and then, should council select you as proxy delegate, you might refer that on to Councillor Byram.
Yep. If so people are happy with
you'd
it.
You'd like that to be in the motion. Could I suggest that we leave paragraph 2 as a separate motion, a bit like we did with that other one, because we get out of the way the more straightforward stuff and then deal with those other dot points, because there may be amendments, cross-amendments or whatever, and I wouldn't want the whole motion to, you know, flounder because of the controversial bits. If that makes sense. Or if you want to, then just carry on.
Is it possible to have maybe some discussion on that before we put the whole thing up? If anyone were to suspend the standing orders, we could have a bit of discussion.
Sure. Well, you still have the floor. Do you want to do that?
Can I suspend standing orders?
Yep, you can move that way. It's a procedural motion. Oh, you can't? All right.
Can I move to suspend standing orders?
Have you concluded your contribution, Councillor Vlescu? Thank you. So, Councillor Westwood, you weren't moving. Councillor Crossland is moving to suspend standing orders. And did you want to extend the meeting time at the same time?
I'll move that we extend the meeting to the end of the last item on the agenda.
I'll just point out that there is one relatively urgent motion without notice that I said I would entertain if it comes up.
I'll move that we extend the meeting to the end of the last item on the agenda and the motion without notice.
All right, thank you. Is that seconded? So we've got the extension and the suspension. Seconded, Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried, I regret to say. Now, is there a seconder for the motion? Councillor... Oh, no, sorry, we don't have a motion. We're just taking views on the controversial points. Councillor Hutchinson?
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. I think it makes sense to remove that second dot point in, under number two. I don't think that's in the spirit of our previous motion with the Local Government Association, where...
Okay, I'll stop you there, since being informal. Let's just take a straw poll on each of the three dot points, and I'm in the three dot points. So the first one that we had, just in the order they initially came through, was... if I can just recall... that the Local Government Association lobbied the state government for the abolition of the NRM levy. So without debate, can I have a show of hands as an indication? Those in favour? Whoa! An anti-tax council. Interesting. All right. I don't think we need to spend much time on that then. We can leave that in there. You can speak against it, but we're just getting an indication informally now as to what is how to approach. It's going to help me chair the meeting if I know if there are amendments or whatever. Now, that the cut the fees by 30%, all those in favour? I mean, sorry, remember this is informal, but if you think you would like to support that, then raise your hand, please. I've got 3.5 of those against having that dot point in the motion. More or less 1, 2, 3.5 as well. Okay. Not super helpful. Well, it's not in the motion as it is, so we'll... Sure. Okay, well, look, if the motion is without that dot point, if somebody wants to bring forward an amendment that sends the LGA a message but is actually cogent, then they can do that by way of amendment when we resume the formal proceedings. No, 3.5 all. That was the result. It's like a soccer game with half a soccer ball. And the third one that the Local Government Association joins the Alliance for Gambling Reform and Support Reform, Reduce Public Health Impacts, Pokies, etc. So just a straw poll on that one in favour. Seven, those against ish. Okay. 10 fingers, that wins the debate. No, well, we're just being informed here. But look, what that tells me, folks, is that Councillor Valesky was pretty well on the mark in terms of putting forward those two dot points, the first and the third, but not the second. And so I think we should probably resume and just deal with his motion, spot on. So I'm after a further motion to resume. Standing orders. Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Hull. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, carried. So we're now back in the formal part of the meeting. Councillor Valescu has moved his motion, and I'm now after a seconder. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I get to finish what I was saying. Look, I don't think the second dot point is necessary at this point. It's not in the spirit of our previous motion regarding the Local Government Association, where we have given them the opportunity to come back to us and obviously be involved in that process to look at the fees. So therefore, I don't think it's in good faith that we would present something like that to the AGM.
Those speaking against... Is there any speaking against the motion? If there aren't, yes, Councillor Hull?
I hear Councillor Appleby and others that maybe that particular part might need to be tempered. I just asked the question, is there scope to actually have to explore reduced membership fees and leave it as an intent, a notional position from the council rather than setting a figure on it?
I think if an amendment like that was entertained, there'd be a fair bit of support.
Ask the motion to be put.
The question's been answered. I have a motion that the motion be put. All those in
favour. Point of order. He's already moved the motion, Your Worship. You can't move the motion to be put.
You can't do
that. Apparently, when you've seconded, I'm told that you can't move that the motion be put. That's how I'm advised.
You've already spoken.
Well, but he's moving the procedural motion in the course of his contribution. Yes, all right. So,
but he wouldn't
Councillor
do that.
Hutchinson.
He wouldn't do that, though.
That's right, because Councillor Hutchinson finished and then Councillor Hull asked a question. So, Councillor Byron.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just on that point about saying could the Local Government Association look at reducing the fees, there was another council who actually put that motion at the last meeting. Or
right.
Similar words to
that's
that.
That's very relevant information. Thank you. Right. Are there any further contributors, whether they're in their place or not? Oh, okay. That's all right. Just checking. Councillor Blescu, to close, anything more?
Look, I think that let's work how we can within the tent to try to reduce the fees and reduce what we think is inappropriate spending and direct that to more appropriate ventures. I think this group has got some great ideas, and I think in order for us to be considered and taken seriously, having something like that at this stage probably won't help. One thing, I do agree with the gambler thing. I just hope that it isn't used at all to contradict or make us look like we're contradicting a position on a previous motion. I think that would be rather unfortunate. But I don't think it is, and I'd like to see it extended perhaps to other forms of gambling, because it's not just poker machines, and this is what Mr. Xenophon talked about as well. He talked about the online gambling. There's a whole lot of other things. The fact that there's apps that teach kids to gamble that are relatively innocent, a whole lot of things that I think need to be addressed and through a larger body, and I commend Councillor Hull for bringing it through for a larger body and really at a national level. So I think that's a good one. I'd be very interested to see the outcome, and that's all I need to say.
Before we put the vote, I detect an ambiguity in the final paragraph, and could I just ask Ms. Thwaites to put a semicolon after Hannah and then probably a comma after Valescu. Just want to make sure that the he refers to the deputy mayor, not the mayor, which is what was intended. So I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Question? No, there's no point of background. That's out of order. But no point of humour either. Question is on page 146. Order, page 146, section 270, review.
Excuse me.
Question? Ms. Byron? Councillor Byron.
That's okay. I just wanted to ask whether there is a conflict of interest and whether Councillor Crosland and I should be leaving or not.
I'll ask Ms. McKenzie's view as governance manager. It's been discussed at the front here. It is critical that there's no pecuniary benefit attached to the recommendations. I note also that in the recommendations, there's really nothing that reflects on the two councillors who met with the chief executive. It's clear that we're talking about Councillor Byram and Councillor Crossland. It's clear from the report they've provided the chief executive with information. The chief executive's come up with has come up with recommendations on page 152. So I actually don't see the conflict of interest.
We're happy to just go out anyway, just to make sure.
We'll leave anyway, but we just wanted to make it clear if anyone wanted to ask questions, we didn't want to leave and avoid answering questions. So it's like we're happy to stay to answer questions and then leave for the vote if anyone's got any questions.
Well, let's deal with any questions before there's a motion moved. That's quite okay. There's no decision-making going on. Are there any questions of Councillor Byram or Councillor Crossland, since they're referred to in the report? If not, then they're choosing to leave the meeting, although I've ruled there isn't a conflict of interest. So they're simply being noted as having left the meeting. I'm now after someone to move accordingly. Councillor Westwood moved as printed, and as I've said with other matters, I'm really saying this is a clerical matter, could the recommendations on page 152 then be included in the motion rather than saying recommendations in the report? That's fine to keep the wording as it is, but simply place those recommendations so that they are there for the reader of the minutes, if no one has any objection. So it's exactly what you're moving, Councillor Westwood, but all I'm saying is let's have the information in the minutes. Nothing further, then I look for a seconder. Councillor Telfer?
In seconding the motion, I would say that it is extraordinarily important for us to get any review processes as tight as we can so that we can down the track say that we have made every effort to be independent in the way that we have tackled these processes.
Anyone speaking against the report? Against the motion? Comment, Councillor Hull? Quick one.
I think that the recommendations are important, and I think that demonstrated there may have been a disconnect between the administration and some of the elected members at one point. And the other thing that I need to stress is I think this is a timely reminder to all of us to be ever so careful with our communications, because there were some emails that could have been reasonably misinterpreted, and that caused a lot of problems. Because we all need to be aware that it could end up going through a process like this where it becomes a stressful and troubling time for the elected members involved. So maybe consult the staff, consult each other before you press that send button. That's my advice. I think the administration and the elected wing alike can learn from this process. That's all I'm saying.
Right. If there are no more speakers, then Councillor Westwood, anything more?
Just briefly. I wasn't directly involved in this project, other than being a local member or an elected member. But from what I understand of the situation, I actually wasn't happy with the source of the complaint, but I won't say any more on that. So I'm very pleased to have this matter resolved and finished.
All those against, that's carried unanimously. Now, I'm going to... There are basically two more items. There's a confidential report, but there's also a matter that's been brought to my attention which demands that... the finance report. I guess that's important too. That makes it three more matters. Thanks for the reminder. It's a shame we don't get to spend the time on the finance reports that they really warrant. There's a lot of work goes into them. Page 153. Councillor Telfer.
And in doing that, I just have highlighted the debtors. I'm interested in asking about the sporting clubs, particularly $148,000 that our sporting clubs owe us, but currently $135,000 in the short term. The other that I would ask a question about is the grants and subsidies, the $29,300 being 90 days out, or 60 days out, I think. So I'm express concern about the levels of those two amounts.
Through the Chair, thanks for your question. In regards to the sporting clubs, you've quite correctly pointed out that the vast majority of that is within current. So whilst it is a large amount, you're absolutely right, I'm actually not concerned about the recovery on that. Certainly the focus of this council and the administration is very much on the amounts that are in the 90-day and 90-plus day columns. And whilst we don't have a comparative to recent months, the good news is though both of those columns have reduced significantly over the past 4 or 5 months, which is fantastic. There's still some work to be done, but substantial efforts have been focused on those areas, quite rightly. And if you look in the comments field, you'll actually see that a number of subsequent payments have been received in the month of February, reducing some of those 90-plus day amounts as well. So if you look at the general total at the top, that's almost reduced down to, it's under 4,000 now. The sporting clubs, the 6,108, has dropped down to 5,200, and there's a couple other bits and pieces as well. If I can just take the very quick opportunity, under extra works, the largest amount that's appearing in 90-plus days, I just wanted to provide some clarity for members to give you some peace of mind. That actually relates to when one of our residents requests that we do works for them, so it could be a driveway crossover, for example. And what we do is we actually invoice them first, and we actually don't physically do the works, or more to the point, we should not physically do the works until we receive their payment. So it's not actually uncommon for residents to say, we'd like you to do this work for us. We would then subsequently invoice them, and some of them choose to no longer pay when they get the invoice. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to highlight that for members.
Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Hutchinson, and a question as
and
well.
A question. At what point is that that written off then?
Through the Chair, it's a very, very good question. What we've ramped up in more over the past 12 to 18 months is the finance team works very closely with a particular work area that has the face-to-face contact with the residents. Those meetings are actually occurring on a regular monthly basis now. They were less frequent before. So when we get information from the relevant team, and in this case it's typically one of the infrastructure groups, that the works are no longer required, then we actually haven't lost any money because we haven't done the work. It's just about effectively reversing that invoice that was initially raised.
Any further questions? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. I'm just more interested as well in what the position is with our surplus funds. Can I just have an update? We're now, what, two-thirds of the way through the financial year, and I know we usually have a $6 million carryover for uncompleted works. Can anyone just update us as to where we are with those funds at the moment?
Mr. Scott.
Through Your Worship, we're working very hard with the carryovers. Our anticipated carryover for this year will be about $2.7 million. Still not acceptable, but it's down from $6.9 million, if you recall. What I've got an issue with, I'm not ready to bring it back to elected members to show the detail of that, because what I need to do is to get to some detail of the major concern I've got, which is open space, which is about $2 million of that. And so there's some real issues there with the, and it's actually a resourcing thing and a bit of ambition exceeding capability of delivery with the open space team of things that are coming on, and mainly made real because of the number of grants that they've received. So I hope that makes sense, but our concern for the end of the year and going forward is open space in particular, because a lot of the civil works have been done by outsourcing. But I've just got a concern there may need to be a reset or a consideration, I should say, in the budget process of actually putting back some of the open space works from next year, financial year, to the year after. But the overall, 2.7 million, which we're reasonably happy with, except you know, it's certainly trending in the right direction.
Thank you.
I can just add to that the 2.7 million carryover, anticipated carryover, to which Mr. Skull refers to $1 million carryover from the previous financial year, plus $1.7 million in terms of the budgeted works for the current financial year. For your information, Mr.
No, that's great, and I think that's an achievement to get down to that level, but I'm thinking the same way as you just mentioned, in that it would be nice to maybe have it as a forum item to look at the potential of resetting and starting back zero at the beginning of the next financial year.
Mr. Skull?
So, Your Worship, yeah, we're going to be bringing this back to the budget process to look at, to make sure. The danger of that, of course, is that there might be some projects which would be of great interest to residents and elected members that we need to actually just make sure that the priority you're in agreement with the priority that we're setting going forward.
Councillor Vlesky.
Works, and I just wanted to clarify, is it possible to have like a schedule of works over a 3-year period? Because then we can actually order, you know, we can don't have to rush and pay extra to finish stuff off within the year. So, because then you can also get bulk orders as well of works. Can we look at that in the future? Is that something that's feasible or being looked at?
Through the Chair, I would have to work on that with Mr. Lyons. That would be difficult for the nature of the work that we do. But certainly we can look at giving the major capital works program over a 3-year period, look at doing that. What we're definitely going to be doing is looking at planning, design and planning in 1 year and delivery in the next, so we're timing our works a lot better. And that's the critical issue that's occurred over the last three and a bit years.
Any other questions? Then I put the motion. Those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Now, members, the only matter remaining in front of you is Glandore Laneways, but there's a matter which has been brought to my attention concerning the Oaklands Crossing media campaign. And because we have billboards booked for April, there's an adjunct matter which probably ought to be brought to council. So I ask your permission to deal with that before the Glandore Laneways matter, simply because I know that Councillor Hutchinson will leave the room when we get to that point. So, members happy with that? Okay. Well, I don't need to do anything else. I'll simply call on motions without notice. Councillor Hull?
I move that Council allocates $3,700 from the underspend in the Council-approved budget of $14,550 for the hiring of a billboard at Oaklands Crossing to produce an online video. That's the motion. The key points to this are that Council allocated $4,550 in October 27, 2015 to hire the billboard at Oaklands Crossing for 2 months. Council was unable to secure the billboards at Oaklands Crossing for 2 consecutive months. The billboard has been booked for 1 month from mid-April at a cost of $8,118. The Oaklands campaign strategy wishes to produce an online video about the issue, which can be used in social media to build further awareness about the issue, and the video cost is about $3,700. So that's it, Mr. Mayor. I move that way. Would you like me to speak to the motion now?
Is that all part of the motion? I thought that was the explanation as well. Sorry, have you finished your contribution, Councillor Hull?
No, not really. Sometimes you ask for a second, sometimes you don't.
I'm not going to on this one, but keep going. Half your time's gone.
Okay. Look, just briefly, the timing of this is not perfect, but at the end of the day, we can only get access to the billboards when we can. Certain political parties are buying up those billboards at the moment for the exact reason that we are, that it's timely because there may be a federal election in the winds. Now, to redirect that money to use for videos, I think, is a great idea, because just like the councillor sitting next to me, if I can be able to reflect on him, who actually managed to succeed quite effectively to be involved in a video that went nationally on the Oaklands Crossing, it can actually be quite effective. Social media can actually spray this around to places that we don't even imagine. But we may not have any sarcasm in that particular video, councillor. That's the motion, Mayor Hannah, and I hope it's supported by council.
Yes, certainly. I think using the funds which we've already allotted is a smart idea, and the power of social media is not to be underestimated. And I think we can squeeze some sarcasm in there.
Yes, I think it's the mood of the council that humour will be tolerated in the video. Councillor Westwood.
Just a question. The amount for the billboard, was there also an amount for the actual production of the content? No, the content of the billboard.
I think you'll find the content of the billboard is part of paying for the billboard. Yep. All right. Anyone speaking against the motion? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried by a majority. Thank you. And now we turn to a confidential report. So thank you, Councillor Hutchinson. We note you've declared an interest. Moved Councillor Pfeiffer that we go into confidence. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor, all those in favour,